Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Really glad to have Sam Monson on the line with us. Sam, it's John Murphy and Steve Tasker up here in Buffalo. Thank you for joining us today.
Anytime. Thanks for having me. Been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. You, since then, have made the move, right, from Ireland, your homeland, to the United States. Where do you live right now, Sam?
Yeah, I'm now about 20 minutes outside of Cincinnati, where PFF HQ is based. So, yeah, summer of 2017, I moved over.
Wow. Very nice.
We first got with you on this show years ago when PFF had a bunch of people from the UK, including Ireland, doing the analysis. And now PFF has really blossomed over the last few years, hasn't it, with video feeds and the involvement of Chris Collinsworth and some of the others. And boy, when you go to the Combine or one of those major events, you're overwhelmed with numbers from the PFF group. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and, you know, way back in the day, we had just a few NFL team clients. Now all 32 NFL teams are PFF customers. We're up to, I think, 55 college teams, a couple of BFL teams. We're pretty much all over the place now.
Before we get to the draft, I'm not going to ask you what you do for the Bills, but what do you do for the Bills? No, what kind of services do you provide the Bills and other NFL teams?
Yeah, I mean, everybody is pretty much subscribes to the same kind of team consumer package. There's a little bit of difference here and there in terms of what exactly they're paying for. And then there's a real difference, I think, in each NFL franchise, kind of how ingrained PFF is in their day-to-day lives and how much they use the system and how much they get use of it. And that's the real thing we find when we go to the events like the Combine and we meet with all these teams. It's just the variety of how certain teams use it. Some teams just take the data, use it as a part of their checking process, and other teams, it's fully ingrained in what they do. It's all part of their video system. It's a big part of their checks and balances. It saves their QC coaches a ton of time. You know, you think way back in the day, these guys used to have to come in on a Monday morning and start manually making cutouts of all the things to help with the week's preparation and game planning. Now it's all done at the touch of a button. They just go in, they access PFF data, and that's able to create a custom cutup, you know, more or less instantaneously. Those guys don't have to spend their entire Monday creating this. They can save all that time.
Well, Sam, we're in the part of the season where, you know, cutups are cutups, and free agency has come and is still in the process. The Bills signed a running back, T.J. Yeldon, just yesterday. What can you tell us about him? Certainly he played a role for Jacksonville. They signed him today, actually, and to a two-year deal. Give us the lowdown on a guy like T.J. Yeldon. What does he bring to the Buffalo Bills, to a group that already has LeSean McCoy and Frank Gore?
Yeah, he's an interesting player because he started off with a pretty solid PFF grade, and he was a guy that we liked. He's capable as a receiver. He's capable carrying the ball on the ground. He's a pretty well-rounded back that can kind of do it all. But the longer he's gone on in the league, that grade has just gotten steadily worse. It's actually declined every single season of his career. And part of that is because, you know, the opportunities didn't manifest themselves the way they might given his early start. And also that Jacksonville offense generally was headed in the wrong direction. Obviously, Blake Bortles, a quarterback, took steps in the wrong direction. The offensive line got beat up, and a huge part of running back success is how good the blocking is in front of them. But I think Yeldon, you know, does represent a good backup option for a team because he can do it all. He doesn't have to tip your hand in terms of being a third down back or a guy who's only in there on obvious passing plays, obvious running plays. He's a guy that can be a legitimate every down backup to somebody, and I think be a valuable contributor if the situation is right.
His pass reception totals are impressive, though, Sam, with, 55 catches last year, more than 50 a couple of years ago, which makes me wonder if the Bills view him as a potential third down running back who they can get involved in the passing game. What do you think? How would you use him?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance they do. I think he's definitely he's good at that. He's a solid receiving option among running backs. I think that's a decent spot for teams. And any team that's bringing in a back like that is typically looking to use, you know, a third down back. That's when they get their primary bell cow some rest. That's when they get that guy on the sideline and, you know, rejuvenated for the next series or the next drive. I think Yeldon would be a good third down option. He's capable as a receiver. He's got some wiggle after the catch. And he's also not a bad pass blocker, which is usually the kind of critical factor with determining which backs are going to be on the field on third down. Sure.
Well, the Bills spent a lot of time and a lot of money on free agent in the free agent markets. They had a lot of money to spend, and they addressed a lot of needs on offense particularly. They brought in a bunch of offensive linemen and two really pretty good named wide receivers in Cole Beasley and John Brown. What do you make about the changes and the bolstering that the Bills have done on their offensive side of the ball around Josh Allen?
I think they've made a lot of smart moves. You know, Josh Allen is an interesting quarterback because I think he was a little bit more successful as a rookie than we thought he might be, given the kind of quality of player he was coming out of college and the holes in his game coming out of college. But I think we saw that he will remain, you know, a relatively inaccurate quarterback. He's never going to look like Joe Montana out there completing 65% of his passes and putting the ball exactly where it should be every single time, but he makes up for that by being this dynamic threat with his legs and by having this incredible arm to go deep pretty much anytime he wants. And I think what they've done is they've given him a receiver in John Brown, who is an excellent deep target. We saw last year before the quarterback switch with him that he was still a very viable deep threat. And Josh Allen went deep last season more than any other quarterback in terms of, you know, frequency, percent of his dropbacks that were a deep target. And then the other side of things, you've got Cole Beasley, who, you know, you don't think of him as a great match for a quarterback who's got a big arm, wants to go deep, but Cole Beasley will get open underneath. And there's a huge overlooked thing, I think, for people when they think about matching up with these quarterbacks that aren't necessarily the most consistent or the most accurate, is, you know, you want to get in these deep threats and you want to maximize the yards per play. But if you get a guy who's going to get wide open on those 5-yard, you know, pivot plays, even if it's not going to be a high percentage play, you're maximizing the margin for error on the pass. So I think Beasley actually is a good fit for Josh Allen because of that. And those two guys together, I think, represent a big upgrade for that receiving core. And then I like what they did on the offensive line as well. Tyon Secchi was a guy who's played extremely well, a tackle in limited opportunities starting for the Redskins over the past couple of years. And absolute worst-case scenario, he should represent, you know, really the best swing tackle, the best backup option in the league. But I think he's got a good shot to start and be a quality player as well.
We're with Sam Monson. He's Pro Football Focus lead NFL analyst. Let's get to the draft. And I want to talk about a player that your colleague there, Steve Palazzolo, mentioned to Steve and I a couple of weeks ago, the cornerback from Washington, Byron Murphy. You kind of like him, too, as a fit for the Bills. Isn't that right, Sam?
Yeah, I think so. I think the Bills potentially still have a need of cornerback. I think we don't quite know what Levi Wallace is going to be going forward. He had a really impressive rookie season, but didn't play, you know, only played essentially 400-odd snaps, not enough, I think, to sell you on the idea of him being your quality lockdown cornerback opposite Tre'Davious White going forward. And even if he is, this is a league that requires three corners these days. You need a third guy that can play 600-700 snaps, so I think it wouldn't be a bad move to get a third guy anyway. And, yeah, Byron Murphy, in a zone scheme in particular, is devastating. He's got the quickness coming out of breaks that he can really maximize that, and it doesn't matter that he doesn't run, you know, a 4-3 flat, because you just don't need him to. The way he can read the play, react to what's happening in front of him, and I think in that scheme it would be a beautiful fit.
Yeah, talk a little bit about the scheme fit and why it's so important.
Yeah, I mean, corner in particular, I think a huge amount of whether these guys succeed or fail at the NFL level is what system they end up in. And, you know, particularly long-term, whether those systems change and you see them suddenly find themselves in a situation that they're not great at. And I think that's a lot of the reason why you see cornerback boards look completely different, because depending on the scheme you run, you're going to have guys in a completely different order. Whoever is a great fit for, you know, a press man scheme that runs man coverage almost all the time, it's not the same skill set that you're looking for compared to the team that runs a lot of zone coverage. And I think the Bills run a ton of that zone coverage. We saw Tre'Davious White was a perfect fit for that kind of system. I think that's what Byron Murphy would be as well. These zone players, they don't necessarily have to run a 4-3 flat because they've got their eyes on the quarterback. They're reading the play in front of them. They're not necessarily having to rely on their athleticism, their quickness to match receivers and to run with those guys. They can rely a little bit more on, you know, the square foot of real estate in above their shoulders, and that's where they get their first yard of speed from. So I think Byron Murphy would be a great fit for that team.
Hey, Sam, Steve and I talked a lot in the first hour of our show about this week as we approach the draft, 3 days away from round one. What do you make of the reports about Arizona maybe backing off Kyler Murray, maybe getting ready to take somebody else at number one? Is this typical draft week line season stuff, or is that for real? And is Kyler Murray a legitimate first overall prospect for the Arizona Cardinals? What do you think?
I think he absolutely should be. Whether he is or not, I think it's still up in the air. But, you know, we've been working really hard at PFF to quantify this transition between the college level and the NFL level, particularly when it comes to quarterbacks, because this is a passing league. You know, the quarterback has never been more important. It is the thing that determines whether you're going to succeed or fail as a franchise going forward. So you need to get it right. And all of the data we had last year pointed to the fact that Baker Mayfield was head and shoulders the best quarterback in last year's draft. And Kyler Murray isn't quite Baker Mayfield according to these numbers, but he's closer to Baker than any other quarterback over the last 2 years was. And when you look at accuracy, when you look at play from a clean pocket, which is the most stable number, it's the most translatable thing, when you look at the frequency of, you know, mistakes, bad plays, he's right up there as well. Plus, he has that X factor of that incredible athleticism that Baker Mayfield didn't have. So I think Murray is a huge upgrade over Josh Rosen. Even if they were in the same draft class, I think you would take Kyler Murray significantly ahead of where you would take Rosen, which means essentially the Cardinals have a shot to upgrade at the position. They have a chance to, you know, flip their quarterback decision for the guy they want to be leading them forward, and then deal with Rosen later. You know, whether it's trade him, whether it's hang on to him until a quarterback needy team comes calling. But I think they have to take the opportunity afforded to them of making that upgrade at the most important position.
Some of the things we've spoken to, the experts we've spoken to, have said Kyler Murray's a little bit, they think he may be a system quarterback. The OU system, the conference they play in, has helped Kyler Murray to shine in a way in the college level that it may be more difficult for him to do in the NFL level. Certainly won the Heisman Trophy, but what is it? What about that criticism that Kyler Murray's kind of a product of the OU system and the conference with that didn't play really good defense against him?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, that's exactly the same thing that was being said about Baker Mayfield. And it's true to an extent. You know, there's no denying the fact that that offense does make life easier for quarterback. And, you know, there are a huge amount of easy throws in that offense. 20%-ish of his targets are screens. Big 12 is very much a conference where defense is optional. There's a lot of poor coverage. There's a lot of bad play. But the key is to try and answer how important is it, or how big a mitigating factor is it? And if you strip out all of that stuff, you take away the screens, if you take away the easy throws, and you just look at the NFL caliber throws, again, that's where Baker Mayfield was so far out in front of everybody else. So it was, okay, even if life is harder at the next level, if he doesn't have these screens, if he doesn't have the bad defense, if he's throwing into tight coverage all the time, he's still the best quarterback in this class at doing just that. And I think the same thing is true with Kyler Murray. If you take out the easy stuff, if you remove the benefits of playing in that system, he's still good at the things you're going to want him to do at the next level, and better than anybody else in this class at that. So, yeah, I think it's a valid criticism, but you shouldn't be using it as a reason that he won't succeed. You should just be saying, okay, we need to figure out how much this impacts his overall evaluation and how much it should be pulling him back towards the rest of the pack.
Hey, Sam, but we've been asking our listeners, Bills fans today, about if there's one player the Bills are interested in more than anybody else in this draft, if there's one player that the Bills should be will be happy to get in Thursday's first round. Do you have any thoughts on that? I mean, who do you think the Bills should be interested in? If they had to lock on one player, who would it be, do you think, to help this Bills team get better?
I think the Bills are in a really good spot in terms of, you know, free agency to me should be where you attack real needs so that you don't run into the draft desperately needing to fill a starting spot. I think if you put yourself in that position, you're already behind the eight ball because now you're not necessarily taking the best player available. You're trying to fit a need, and that guy's probably not going to play lights out from year one. So I think the Bills are in a pretty good spot because they address their most glaring needs that they can really go best player available and, you know, attack a guy that's going to make the biggest impact. I think receiver, number one receiver, is still an option, still a need for them, but I don't know that there's one guy there that screams that they need to take him. I would love to see Buffalo grab Jonah Williams, the left tackle from Alabama. I think he has a chance to be a really special left tackle at the next level. And even though it's not a glaring need for Buffalo, for them to install him and see him as a sort of 10-year starter to absolutely nail down that position, I think would be a huge boost to this team.
Where do you see Hockenson? I know in the most recent PFF mock draft, I saw that he was listed as 19 overall to the Tennessee Titans. Is that about the right range for him, or would a top 10 pick for TJ Hockenson be a value pick?
I think a top 10 pick might be a little bit rich for him. I think he's a really good player. He's what you want in a modern-day tight end in that he can still block. And these days, being able to block is what makes you that dual-threat player as a tight end because most of these guys can't. You know, even the best college blocking tight ends are typically not good at it at the next level. Or even if they are, it takes them a while to adjust. So if you get a guy like Hockenson who can be a really good receiving threat, a dynamic matchup problem for defenses, and provide you value in the run game, because he can still block, I think that is really valuable, but I don't know that he's quite good enough to be taken in that top 10 area.
Interesting. We can't wait for the draft, Sam. Thank you for joining us today to talk about it with us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.